We've been in a series looking at the life of Joseph over the past few weeks. And we wanted to look at his life because he's talked about more in the book of Genesis than any other character. It's interesting. This man who God used in a mighty way, we want to see what can we learn from his life? How can we glean truth from his life, see what he did, things that he learned? And how could that benefit our lives as well? If you're not familiar with the story, Joseph is a favorite son of his father. He has different brothers and sisters, a lot of half-brothers, and actually, I don't know if he has sisters, but brothers. And we see a lot of the dysfunction that's in his family, right? A few weeks back, we looked at kind of how he started out. He was 17 years old. His father favored him highly, and his brothers saw that. It was clear that he was the favorite. He had a coat that his dad made for him, and it distinguished him from the rest of his brothers. It says, I am the favorite. And pretty much his brothers became jealous of him, and they couldn't stand him. They grew in their hatred of him. And so Joseph goes and visits them as they're watching the sheep, and they see him from afar, and they say, you know what, let's kill this guy. We're so sick of this guy, let's get rid of him. They end up settling to throw him into a pit. They say, you know what, we're going to throw this guy in a pit, and we'll just leave him there. They see some Midianite traders coming by and say, you know what, let's just sell him. He goes to Egypt. He's sold as a slave in Potiphar's house. And we looked at Joseph's rise a couple weeks back. We saw, man, this guy was faithful with where God placed him. He was successful because God was with him. But then we saw that Joseph suffered for doing the right thing. Right? As Potiphar's wife was making her advances on Joseph, he refused, and eventually it ended up with him being in jail. He's in prison. This is what we looked at in Genesis 39. And so we talked about that. What do we do when we're choosing to do the right thing and we feel like God's not coming through for us? When choosing the way of righteousness isn't working out. And we talked about the fact that choosing to honor God is costly. Right? It will cost you friends. It will cost you in the workplace. You might not make as much money. You might not get that promotion if you're not willing to cut corners. Following the path of righteousness is costly. And right now, Joseph is in the midst of prison. He's in a season where he's waiting on the Lord, right? God's given him these dreams, but he's yet to see them be fulfilled. For some of us here this morning, there might be something that God has put on your heart, right? Many of us have different desires, and sometimes God will change those desires, right? Like you might have a desire right now, and God's going to redirect that desire. But some of you have desires that are from God, and God will come through. And he will make it happen, but it's in his timing. And what Joseph is learning in this chapter is to wait upon the Lord. He's learning to be faithful in the waiting. The question for us is, how can we be faithful in seasons of waiting like Joseph was? Whether you're waiting for a spouse, a new job, for each one of you it's different. I just wish my kids would be a certain way. We all have these hopes and desires, and sometimes we'll vocalize them, but I know for me sometimes I won't because I don't want to be disappointed. I'd rather just keep them low-key. But when we have these things and we fail to see them come to pass, we can get discouraged. We could become disillusioned, like, why would God give me this desire and not provide a way for me to walk in it? And what we see in this chapter is that sometimes what we need is not a change in our circumstances, but a change in our perspective. So often we want our circumstances to change, but God wants to change us in the midst of these circumstances. That's what we're going to see in Genesis chapter 40. Let's take the first part of it, verses 1 through 4. we're going to see that Joseph was faithful where God placed him. Joseph was faithful where God placed him. Let's read verses 1 through 4. I'm reading out of the New King James Version this morning. It says, "It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning, Lord. We ask that you would bless it. I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you want to say to us, God, and that you would speak into the places where we need to hear you, God. The places where we feel hopeless, where we feel disappointed. I pray that you would speak your truth into our lives, God, and that you give us hope, that you'd mold us and shape us to be more like you. We pray that you'd be lifted up in this time, God. Draw us to yourself. Help us to be faithful, Lord, in the seasons of waiting. Give us the grace to do this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so Joseph here finds himself in prison. God is calling him to be faithful in this season, right? Oftentimes we look ahead to, what is God going to do in my future? I'll start getting it together once God opens up this door. And what God is calling us to, and what he called Joseph to, was to be faithful where God placed him. And so that means to recognize that your circumstances are not an accident. The place that you find yourself in life is not an accident. And what Joseph needed to know was that God was with him even when he was at his lowest point. Some of you have hit that point. Some of you have experienced that in the past. When you were at your lowest point, I think of my life, when I was at my lowest point, God was with me there. And it says in the previous chapter that even though Joseph was in prison, that God showed his steadfast love to Joseph. I love that. Because it was in that place for me personally, being at this low point in my life, where I found out, you know what? God loves me in this place. It's not about if I'm being a good Christian. It's not about my good works, but I was left just with the grace of God. It has to be grace. Because I'm not bringing anything to the table. It's at the low points in our lives that God oftentimes makes his presence known to us. And this is an amazing truth. And even now, many of you know Christ, but you'll still go through seasons where you feel like, is God holding out on me? Like, what's going on with my relationship with God? Why do I feel like God is being silent towards me? Yeah, some of you feel like you're screaming like, God, what's happening? What I want you to know is that God is faithful, okay? No matter how we are, no matter when we're faithless, God still remains faithful. And our faithfulness does not depend merely upon our ability to remain faithful, but it depends upon us looking to the faithful one. It's not about just us white-knuckling it and just like, I got to hold on to my relationship with God. But really, the call is for us to say, hey, I want to pursue God. It's really hard. Poor child. I want these promises to encourage you. Paul tells Timothy, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful. For those of you in this season of waiting, know that. Maybe you came in here today and you're saying, you know what? I'm in a season of waiting and it's bringing out the worst in me. I'm sinning. I'm questioning God. I'm struggling. I feel complacent. I feel lethargic. And you're being faced with the reality of your sin and unfaithfulness. And the good news for us today is that God has more for us. He has more for us to walk in, and he's not content for us to walk in apathy and complacency. And so that's oftentimes why he brings us to these seasons of waiting. because he's wanting to develop something inside of us. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." I love that. God is faithful. He's the one who calls you, and he'll bring it to pass. He says in Philippians 1, verse 6, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." This is an amazing truth. That we can have confidence that the one who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete us. Complete the work that he started in us. And in times where we can't see how God is working, we've got to remind ourselves of God's promises. Say, "Lord, yes, this is true. Even though I don't feel you, I know you're working as I'm waiting." The next thing I want us to see is that Joseph was attentive to the people around him. Right? There's this butler and the baker who come in prison. He has this prison ministry, and Joseph is faithful to minister to these guys. Let's read verse 5 through 19. It says, "Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, 'Why do you look so sad today?' And they said to him, 'We have each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it.' So Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please.' Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'Behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, 'This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner, when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon.' When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, 'I was also in my dream. I also was in my dream. And there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head.' So Joseph answered and said, 'This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you.'" Eesh. That's a tough word to deliver. Joseph's in prison, and God brings these two people to him. This isn't an accident, right? The butler and the baker. Apparently, they did something to offend Pharaoh, and they ended up in prison. But Joseph, because he was faithful, he had favor, and he was put in charge of these guys. Notice what it says in verse 5. "Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream, in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad." Notice how Joseph, even though he's in prison, he serves these guys. He has a heart of service. This was a man who would eventually be very high up in Egypt. He would be a ruler in Egypt, but God is teaching him something in this season of waiting. Reminds us of what Jesus said in Matthew 20, Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. True leaders serve. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The reason why we can serve each other, even when our lives are a mess, is because Jesus first served us. This is to motivate us as we think about serving each other in the church. It could be something small. It could be just saying, hey, how are you doing? But we love people, we serve people because of Jesus' love for us. As it said in the previous chapter, the Lord showed Joseph this steadfast love. And when we understand that God's love for us is great, we will extend that love to other people. We will extend it to other people who are not deserving. Because remember, Joseph doesn't deserve to be in prison. And yet he's ministering to people who are there with him. He could have felt sorry for himself. He could have said, you know what? Like, I don't deserve to be here. I'm done. I'm throwing the towel in on my faith. But he didn't do that. He stuck with the Lord. He was faithful where God placed him. He served the people around him. He genuinely cared for the people that God brought his way. Notice verse 6 and 7. It says that he looked at these prisoners and he saw that they were sad. That's an amazing thing. Do we even see the people who are around us? The hurt that they have? Because I've experienced this lately. The people that I have been quickest to judge, they are the most open people. They are the most broken people. Sometimes the people who are the most annoying, they're the most open. They're the most broken. And if we get bothered, just say, hey, you know what? Like, this person's super crazy. Like, they're a lot to handle. And we just kind of write them off. We're going to miss out on what God wants to do. And the Lord has checked me on this personally. And you're going to see this in your life too. People that reach out oftentimes are the people who are unlikely. You're like, I did not think that. This person is way out there. But look at the heart of God would call us and say, hey, they have a soul. Christ is saying, I died for that person. Joseph was attentive to these prisoners. He genuinely cared for them. He was perceptive to how they were doing. He recognized that they were sad. But he also pursued them. Sometimes when we see people, they're not doing too well, we're like, you know what, we'll just give them space. The Debbie Downer. I don't want to get in that. But the scripture would call us and God would call us and say, hey, yeah, notice how they're doing, but also pursue them when they're not doing well. Joseph asks these guys, hey, why do you look so sad today? In verse 8, he points them to God. I love this. Look at what he says in verse 8. And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Joseph points these prisoners to God by listening to them. He asks them a question, and then he listens to them. He heard about their dreams, and then he preaches to them. He brings God into the conversation. I love that. Do not interpretations belong to God? It's just like a slight, like little sentence. But I love what Joseph is doing here. He's taking the time to care for people. And I think as we care for people and we show them, hey, like, I love you, I'm for you, we listen to them, it gives us the ability to speak into their life, right? Many of you have experienced that. Many of you have felt that person. When someone cares about you, it's a lot easier to receive from that person the truth. Joseph was faithful to point these people to God. Notice, he wasn't bragging, saying, I have this great gift from God. He wasn't lifting up himself. He's saying, hey, interpretations belong to God, but tell them to me. Because he's saying, I know God. Me and God have this relationship. And it's not in and of myself, but God's the one who gives the interpretation. This is an amazing thing, that your gifts are not they're not meant for you to look good in front of other people. oftentimes we've been given a gift, but there's not a platform to exercise that gift because God is weeding out the pride in our hearts. And God's saying, hey, like, I know you have this gift, but I'm doing something in the seasons of waiting. I'm refining you. I'm getting you ready. God was getting Joseph ready for what would happen next. Notice in verses 12 and 13 that Joseph was honest with these people. He was honest with the prisoners. He was honest about the good news, right? One interpretation was good. That's the message that we all want to share with people. You're not going to die. You'll actually be restored in 3 days. This was an accurate interpretation. But he was also honest about the bad news, right? Even as we read that, you're just like, eesh, like, that's a tough one to get. If someone comes up to you and be like, yo, you're going to die in 3 days, like, wow, that's rough. But Joseph didn't water it down. He was faithful with the message that God gave him. And I think this is a picture for us as well. As we're seeking to be ambassadors for Christ, we must be faithful with the message that God has entrusted to us. And part of that is the good news about Jesus, his love for us, his mercy, all those kinds of things. But part of that too means that we're faithful with the bad news. Because how could you understand how good the good news is unless you understand the bad news? Like, if I don't understand my sin and like what that does and the separation that that brings and that God's wrath is real, how could I really understand? Like, what am I being saved from? If we just tell people, hey, like, come and get saved, they're like, why do I need to get saved? We have to be faithful to deliver the bad news as well as the good news. And Joseph was able to do that. He says, you know what? I'm going to be honest with these two individuals. And he entrusted the results to God. Notice in verses 14 and 15, we see Joseph's humanity. We see that he was vulnerable with them. He made a request to this guy who was going to live. He says in verse 14, but remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. And so he makes this request to this guy. He says, you know, I know you're going to live 3 days. You're going to be restored to your place. Remember me. Please get me out of here. And I love this because it shows like Joseph was human. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like he's like this super saint. Obviously, God used him in an amazing way. But we've said before that the life of Joseph is actually about God and God's faithfulness. The bigger story of Genesis is that God is raising up for himself a people, a seed. Right? In Genesis 3, it was prophesied that there would be a seed through the line of Judah, through Israel, would come the Messiah. And Joseph is a part of God's plan to bring a nation into Egypt, to be a blessing to the rest of the nations once the famine hits. And this is an important thing that we understand. Joseph was human. He made his request to this person, say, hey, remember me. He did a lot for this guy. This was comforting for him to know, in 3 days, I'll be restored. And all you have to do is remember what I said. Does the guy remember? No. The last thing I want to look at is Joseph trusted God when people let him down. Verses 20 and 23. It says, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again. And he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. This is a hard reality of life. But Joseph was able to trust God even when people let him down. If you've lived any amount of time, you've experienced this, that people will definitely let you down. We've done this on the other end too. I have failed people that I thought, man, like, I want to help them, but sometimes I fail to follow through. We've all done that. But Joseph was able to trust God in the midst of that. He was willing to take a risk. Everything in this chapter, all the ways that he loved these two prisoners, he served them, he listened to them, he preached to them, he pointed them to God. And yet, in the end, disappointment. This guy could not reciprocate the favor. He just forgot. And this is, I think, why it's so important. And what God will show us in seasons where people let us down is that all of our hope has to be in God. Oftentimes I've learned when I've put my hope in someone or in something that they said that they would do and they don't come through, it's like God's telling me, hey, like, you got to trust in me. I can use people to provide for you. I can use people to bless you. But ultimately, I see this distinction that God is saying, you have to trust in me. Don't trust in what that person said. Don't be disappointed. Obviously, disappointment's real. But don't allow your disappointment to breed this discouragement and throw in the towel. Keep loving people. Some of you have been hurt. And it's hard sometimes. It's hard for me to chase people down when I know, okay, this person, they don't want to see me. But God's calling me to chase them. They're struggling, and I know they're struggling. And God's saying, hey, I want you to pursue them. This is what God's love teaches us. And I see myself in this. I see that, you know what, when I was far from God and I was like stiff-arming God and his people, that God still pursued me. He's still coming after me. And he's calling us to do the same for each other and with each other. Paul says that in Corinthians. The more I love you, the less I am loved. It's a weird thing. You would think, the more I love you, the more you'll love me back. But that's not how Paul says it works. He's saying to the Corinthians, the more that I'm pouring my heart out for you, the less I'm loved by you. And this is why it's so important that we get filled up with the love of God for us, so that when we're serving people and we're loving people, I'm not doing that in hopes of getting something from you. I'm doing that from a place of overflow because God has loved me, so I'm able to extend that love to you. I don't need you to affirm me. I don't need you to reciprocate it, because if God's filling us up, that's the best thing. Doesn't mean it's not painful. But I pray that we would give our hurts to God. We would give our disappointments to God. And ultimately, we can have hope in God because God himself has moved in our most hopeless situation. Every single person here, your most hopeless situation is your relationship with God, is the separation because of sin that has happened to each one of us. And so we remind ourselves when we're looking at hopeless situations and we're in seasons of waiting, we say, you know what? God has dealt with my biggest problem. If you are in Christ today, Jesus has dealt with your greatest problem. You were cut off from God because of your sin. The wrath of God was abiding on you. And Jesus says, I'm going to absorb that for you and take it upon myself so that you could have my favor and my love rest upon you. And we have to remind ourselves, this is the reality. This is the great reality for each person in Christ. If God has dealt with our most hopeless situation, this gives us hope that he can deal with the lesser things that are also important. Your loved ones who don't know Christ. The hopes and desires you have for your future, and you feel like, man, I don't know how God's going to bring this to pass. God cares about those things. Where am I going to go? Like in my future, what's God calling me to in my career? God cares about those things. And he's proved it through going to the cross for you. And now he says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. all of them. In Psalm 138, verse 8, the psalmist says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." I love that. This confident statement, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." We can boldly say that because of the cross of Jesus Christ, because Jesus did not withhold himself from us. And we got to remind ourselves of who God is when we can't see what God is doing. In the seasons of waiting, we're like, "I feel like nothing's happening." But what we need to understand is that God is doing a work in you. God is committed to seeing Christ being formed in you. And that in his timing, he will lift you up. He's testing you so that he might bring you forth as gold. As Psalm 105 reflects back on the life of Joseph, it says this in verse 17 through 19. Speaking of God, it says, "He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him." I love this insight that we have here from Psalm 105. As the author is looking back and saying, what can we learn from the life of Joseph? The word of the Lord tested him. He received these dreams from God, but he went through a lot of ups and downs to get there. This is an amazing thing, that God's word will test us. God's word will refine us. He's purifying us. He wants our faith to be like gold. And then in due time, we'll be where God has us next. It's possible that the season of waiting that you're in has been directly ordained by God. It's not an accident. God has you right where he has you. A good question for us to ask in this season is, "Lord, what are you wanting to teach me in this season?" Have you ever asked that to God? I know for me, it's complaining. It's just like, you know what? Forget it. It's not working out. But what if we were to say, "God, what are you wanting to teach me in this season of waiting on you? Help me to surrender to the work that you want to do in me in this season." Opening up our Bible and giving God room to speak to us. Like, it's easy when it's easy to read the Bible, right? When it's hard, we're just like, "Oh, whatever." But I think it's something, there's something to be said, like, when it's hard, like, telling yourself, "You know what, I really need to, like, open this up and hear from God. I don't want to just watch Netflix, that's the easy way, and just tune out. I want to really press in and open up the Word of God." And I think this is what God is wanting us to do, is to come to him, to ask him, to say, "Lord, I want to draw near to you." If you're in this season, don't waste it. Don't waste the season of waiting that God has you in. Make the most of it. Redeem it. Right? Like Joseph did. Seek to be faithful where God has you. Be attentive to the people around you. And keep trusting that you could trust in God even when people let you down. Keep coming to God in that. The Lord has not forgotten about you. He's going to come through for you in his perfect timing. And so let's encourage each other in these truths. Let's be open with each other. And let's ask that God would pour this hope in our hearts.